Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, thrilled that you're with me here on this Wednesday. We're smack in the middle of a week of teaching on the fruit of the Spirit that Derek Prince has been giving us. It follows, by the way, last week's teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, both of which you can listen to online at derekprince.org. Now, today I'm kind of bracing myself because Derek has been talking about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and now he's going to talk about patience and kindness. You know, I have the temptation to believe that patience and kindness are things that I should show those that I like. But Derek's about to teach us that they are fruit of the Spirit that ought to operate all the time in our lives. Let's listen, let's repent, and let's walk in something higher in our lives as Derek Prince teaches us about the fruits of patience and kindness.
All this week I've been sharing with you about the precious fruit of the Holy Spirit. In my last three talks, I've dealt with the fruit of love, the fruit of joy, and the fruit of peace. Today, I'm going to speak about the fruit of patience. Patience includes two distinct but related aspects of character. The first is steadfastness in enduring troubles. The second is slowness in avenging wrongs. I want to say that again. The first aspect of patience is steadfastness in enduring troubles. The second aspect is slowness in avenging wrongs. Without both of these aspects, patience is incomplete. Some people are steadfast in enduring troubles but very quick to avenge themselves. Some people are slow to avenge themselves but not very steadfast in enduring troubles. To have true scriptural patience, the complete fruit of the Spirit, you have to combine both these things: steadfastness in enduring troubles, slowness in avenging wrongs. We must understand that the way into God's kingdom is through many tribulations. This is specifically stated in Scripture. At one point in their ministry, Paul and Silas went through the cities where there were new disciples who'd come to the Lord through their ministry, disciples who'd been under pressure and persecution, and it says of what Paul and Silas were doing, they were strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations we must enter into the kingdom of God. Note that word must. Why the must? Why must we go through many tribulations to enter the kingdom of God? What is it that tribulation does for us that makes it necessary? Well, I would answer this. Tribulation or trouble or pressure, whatever word you want to use, is necessary to work out in us the benefits of the death of Jesus on our behalf. However, reckoning it is one thing, working it out in daily living is another. So Paul says in Colossians 3, verse 5, speaking to Christians, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry." We are reckoning ourselves dead, but to make it effective, we have to put to death those things in our lives which are the expression of the old, unregenerate nature. Now, patience is the aspect of character which is produced in us by doing this. It's what's produced in us by experientially working out in our lives the death of Jesus on our behalf. Jesus died to sin. The aim of God is that we should be dead to sin. This is received by faith, but it's worked out in experience. Working it out in experience demands patience. Without patience, we cannot enter into the fullness of the provision of God which He's made for us through the death of Jesus on the cross. In acquiring patience, Jesus has set the pattern for us. This is stated very clearly in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 23. Peter is speaking primarily to people who are in the position of slaves under masters. But the principle goes far further than just the slave-master relationship. The principle applies to all of us who are believers. He says this, "For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God." Notice what God wants in us is that even when we're unjustly treated, punished when we should not be punished, we patiently endure it. That's what God is looking for. The next statement that follows is very remarkable. "For you have been called for this purpose." For what purpose? To patiently endure wrongdoing and unjust treatment. Lots of Christians who speak about being called to do various exciting things don't mention the fact that we've been called for this purpose also. And then Peter goes on to say, "Since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow." So we are clearly required to follow the example of Jesus in enduring suffering. Now his example is stated in verses 22 and 23, "Who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. He was entirely innocent. He didn't deserve any of the suffering that came upon him. But it says, while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously." The way which Jesus responded to unjust treatment and suffering arose from his confidence in the Father. He was prepared to entrust his case to the Father and not fight for himself. So he endured mistreatment, wrongdoing, false accusations, rejection, patiently, without fighting back, because he trusted his Father to work it all out on his behalf. This is patience. When we have achieved patience, we renounce the desire to justify ourselves or to revenge ourselves. As long as we're busy justifying ourselves or revenging ourselves when we're wrongly accused or unfairly treated, we have not yet achieved the fruit of patience. What's the key to this patience? I suggest to you that it's found in keeping your eyes on Jesus. Listen to Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses," that's the great believers of the Old Testament, "let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus," that's the key, "the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Jesus knew that the only way to joy is through suffering. Keeping his eye on the joy that lay before him, he endured the suffering. And our key to this is to keep our eyes on Jesus and follow where he has led.
I want you to think for a moment about how your life would be transformed if you saw the trouble around you as an opportunity to perfect patience. Derek has taught us that patience is steadfastness in enduring trouble. Could it be that some of the trouble in our life is God's gift to us so that we can perfect patience to his glory? There's more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
In the newly released book, You Shall Receive Power, Derek Prince explores the often misunderstood gifts of the Holy Spirit. In his classic, biblically based, and step-by-step style, Derek reveals how God's powerful gift given to believers during Pentecost continues to this very day. How does the Holy Spirit operate? What are the signs that the Holy Spirit is alive and active? What does it really mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Now Derek's newest book, You Shall Receive Power, answers these and other questions about the Holy Spirit and its place in every believer's life. And the new book is available for only $9.95.
To order your copy, simply call toll-free 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The Holy Spirit brings comfort, discernment, direction, and power. Discover for yourself how the power of the Holy Spirit can be alive in you. Order your copy of You Shall Receive Power and let the timely and practical insight found within these pages help you grasp the nature and purposes of this life-changing gift from God. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, thrilled that you're with me here on this Wednesday as we continue to hammer away at cultivating the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And I don't know if you've been with me today, maybe you're as convicted as I am as Derek Prince is talking to us about patience and kindness. May the Lord give us more of both. Let's listen as Derek teaches us.
Today I'm going to speak about the next form of spiritual fruit, the fruit of kindness. What is the essential nature of kindness? I suggest that it can be defined this way. Kindness is treating other people the way we would wish them to treat us. I think that makes kindness practical and easy to comprehend, and in a certain sense easy to apply, because we usually know how we would like other people to treat us. In fact, we're very clear about that in our minds. Kindness means that we're equally clear that we treat other people the way we want them to treat us. Jesus has something to say about this in Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 31. He says this, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. And just as you want men to treat you, treat them in the same way." There are a number of examples of kindness: loving our enemies, doing good to those who hate us, blessing those who curse us, praying for those who mistreat us. And if anybody wants to take away something that is ours, we do not withhold it. We give to those who ask of us. I think the various things that Jesus mentions there as forms of conduct really constitute kindness in action. But in the last verse, he sums it up and gives us the key to kindness. He says, "Just as you want men to treat you, treat them in the same way." Treat others as you want them to treat you. In the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, Jesus returns to this principle. And he says this, "Therefore, whatever you want others to do for you, do so for them. For this is the law and the prophets." That's an amazing statement, isn't it? That the entire Old Testament, the law and the prophets, was based on one simple principle, that whatever you want other people to do to you, you do to them. Sometimes we get so lost in the maze of commandments and ordinances that we wonder what it's all about. But here in the New Testament, Jesus sums it all up in that one simple, basic principle, that you treat others the way you want them to treat you. Now, what I want to tell you at this point is that that's how it's going to work out anyhow, so you might as well know it in advance. In other words, the treatment that you mete out to others ultimately will return to you. This is a law of the universe. It's a law that maybe is not recognized by scientists, but it's a law that God has built into human conduct and human relationships. Paul sums it up in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked," or "you can't fool God. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap." So you see, in this aspect, really, kindness is just enlightened self-interest. What you want to get back is what you give out. However, in order for this to work, we have to combine kindness with the previous form of the fruit of the Spirit, which I spoke about last week, patience, a willingness to hold out. We don't always look for quick results. Sometimes we have to wait quite a long while before we reap what we've been sowing, whether it's good or whether it's evil. But what the Scripture tells us is, whatever we sow, that's what we're going to get back. But Paul emphasizes the need for patience a little further on in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. He says, "And let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary." So there's an interval between sowing and reaping. You treat others the way that you want them to treat you, and it doesn't necessarily mean that they'll react and respond that way immediately. In fact, it may look like just the very opposite. But Paul says, if you go on and don't give up, in due time, you will reap what you've sown. There's great emphasis in the Bible, particularly on applying this principle to the poor. The Bible has a lot more to say about helping the poor than quite a number of modern Christians have realized. For instance, in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17, and I'm reading from the Living Bible, it says, "When you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and He pays wonderful interest on your loan. He may keep the loan quite a long while, but one day you'll get it back with interest, and God's rate of interest is high." So again, that's the same principle. Give out, be kind, treat others the way you want them to treat you, and though it may seem you've given out and you are getting nothing back, remember, you've really made a loan to the Lord. And even if people aren't faithful, the Lord will see that you're repaid.
You know, it seems, given what Derek has been teaching us, that one of the great principles of life is that what you plant grows, that the way you treat others is the way you're going to be treated. It sounds simple, but we need the power of the Holy Spirit to actually do it. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
In the newly released book, You Shall Receive Power, Derek Prince explores the often misunderstood gifts of the Holy Spirit. In his classic, biblically based, and step-by-step style, Derek reveals how God's powerful gift given to believers during Pentecost continues to this very day. How does the Holy Spirit operate? What are the signs that the Holy Spirit is alive and active? What does it really mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Now Derek's newest book, You Shall Receive Power, answers these and other questions about the Holy Spirit and its place in every believer's life. And the new book is available for only $9.95. To order your copy, simply call toll-free 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The Holy Spirit brings comfort, discernment, direction, and power. Discover for yourself how the power of the Holy Spirit can be alive in you. Order your copy of You Shall Receive Power and let the timely and practical insight found within these pages help you grasp the nature and purposes of this life-changing gift from God. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. Good to have you with me here on this Wednesday. Derek Prince is teaching us on the fruit of the Spirit and is specifically focusing on the idea that if we want to have mercy from God, we have to show mercy to others. This is going to be transforming. Let's listen.
The same principle is stated again in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, in rather beautiful figurative language. "Cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it again." Give out and just wait and see how God is going to reward you. And then it says, "Give portions to seven, yes, to eight, for you do not know what disaster may come upon the land." I would suggest that seven is the number of duty, 8 means you're going beyond duty. It's like what Jesus spoke about the second mile. So Solomon says, do your duty, give to the people you have to give, and go a little bit beyond. Why? Because you do not know what disaster may come upon the land. In other words, one day you may need help. You may be the one who's in a desperate situation. If you've given out and helped others, when that day comes, God will see to it that you're properly cared for. What I've been saying about treating others the way we want them to treat us applies not only to our actions, but just as much to our attitudes. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. Do not judge, lest you be judged yourselves. In other words, if you judge, it's coming back on you in judgment. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it shall be measured to you. In other words, we better judge people charitably because we're going to want them to judge us charitably at some point in the future. In the Sermon on the Mount again, Matthew 5, verse 7, Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. If we want to receive mercy from God, we have to show mercy to others. One principle has gone with me all through my life as a Christian, which has lasted nearly 40 years, that I need the mercy of God. I have never been ignorant of that. I'm always aware continually that I need God's mercy. For that reason, personally, I do not dare to deny mercy to others, simply because I know I'm going to need mercy from God. So many times in my Christian experience, I've seen Christians harshly judge another believer who got into trouble, and it wasn't very long before the one who judged harshly was in just the same kind of trouble himself. You see, it's a kind of law. Listen to what James says in chapter 2, verse 13. For judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. If you're not merciful in judging others, you'll be judged without mercy yourself. That verse is rendered a little more fully in the Living Bible. For there will be no mercy to those who have shown no mercy. But if you have been merciful, then God's mercy toward you will win out over his judgment against you. So you could be judged by God. There are things in your life, doubtless, that God could judge you for. God is a God of judgment, but he's also a God of mercy. How can you be sure that it's God's mercy you'll receive and not his judgment? By showing mercy to others. If you have been merciful, then God's mercy toward you will win out over his judgment against you.
You know, it seems we really do have a choice. We can live in the spirit of the world, which is a get what you can get at all costs, no matter what you have to extract from other people. Or we can live according to the golden rule, which is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I want to tell you that before this day is over, you can change the spirit, the environment of your relationship with people if you'll begin to treat them the way you want them to treat you. Now, you're going to have the Holy Spirit in your life to do it because some folks just aren't that easy to be kind to. But you can do it with the power of Jesus. Father, empower us, we pray, to walk in a different spirit, an opposite spirit of the one that operates in the world and in some of our relationships. And forgive us for having acclimated ourselves to the spirit of the world, the domination and the anger that often motivates us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's walk in something fresh and new. That's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to order Derek's new book, You Shall Receive Power. Available to Derek Prince Legacy Radio listeners for only $9.95. Call 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Take a moment to jot down our toll-free number, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can request your copy securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.